I'd like for you to take your Bibles this morning, and if you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And once you have found that, we'll give you a moment to do that. I would like for you to stand, and I'd like for all of us to read together the whole chapter. Romans chapter 12. Okay, everyone ready? We'll begin with verse 1. We'll read right through verse number 21. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to God hath given every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, that giveth, let him do it, with diligence, and he that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for it is this thing, he coals a fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray as we look at these verses and a few others this morning for a time that you will help us to understand what Paul is trying to accomplish. He's just told us all about salvation, what God has done for us. And now he's telling us how to apply it to our lives. In other words, once we've trusted in Christ, that means we are to be Christ-like. That means that we're to be, a representative for Jesus Christ while we live on this earth. And of course, one day we'll be with him. And I pray that you'll help us to do just that. And as we finish out the book of Romans in the next few weeks, we will see that he adds some other instructions to what he has to say that will help us to do what we ought to do once we've trusted Christ as our personal Savior. We thank you for the salvation that you have given us. Now help us to understand and apply the instructions given so that we can live out life as a disciple of Jesus Christ while we're still living here on this earth. bless in the rest of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In the last few weeks, we have learned what salvation is all about. And we will now look at how we apply this to our lives. In other words, once I've believed in Christ, what does the Lord want me to do? And in the last part of the book of Romans, this is what Paul really starts talking about. He tells us how to put our learning into practice in these verses. I want you to notice that there is a therefore at the beginning of this chapter. He says, I beseech you, therefore. But we've seen that word before. I don't know if you realized it, but in chapter 3 of Romans, in verse 20, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, God gave the law to mankind so that they could understand what sin was all about. So they could understand that we cannot live a perfect life by ourselves. We need help, you see. And that help is through the salvation that God has made possible for us. And it declares the whole world is guilty before God. You see, why? Because the law shows that we can't keep the law. And then I want you to notice there's another therefore in this book. It's in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. There it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The first therefore is a therefore of condemnation. The second, therefore, is a therefore of justification. God makes it possible for us to be justified, but it's not by what we do, it's by what we believe. And if we believe in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we can be justified. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1, we have a third, therefore. This verse says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So once we've trusted in Him, and instead of walking in the flesh, walking in how the world would want us to walk, but walking as how God would want us to walk through the leadership of the Spirit of God, we have assurance. It's the therefore of assurance. And then in Romans chapter 12, the verse that we are starting with here today, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This particular therefore is the therefore of dedication. Now it's time for us to say, Lord, I'm going to give you all of me. I want you to lead me in everything so that I can glorify you in all that I do and say. The therefore of dedication. And this chapter relates what God desires of the Christian toward himself as God, but also toward the believer. In other words, how should we look at ourselves? And we'll look at that. And then in the third place, how do we relate to others, those around us? And all we're going to see all of that in this chapter. And I want us to look at this and keep in mind to accept the exhortation and apply it to our lives. What is the exhortation? Well, the first two verses give it to us. In other words, towards God, we need to be totally consecrated to Him in our life. Verse 1, it says, I beseech you. He's begging us, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he says, in the negative, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I want you to realize here that Paul says, I beseech you. He's begging us. He says, I'm appealing to you. And so God's appealing to you today. Have you been one that's wanted to walk in your own way? You want to do your own thing? You're saved, you've trusted in Christ, but you still want to have control? Listen, the real control is when you're under the control of the Holy Spirit and allowing the Word of God to work in your life. That's when you see the real blessings of God come out in your life. And so he's beseeching you, he's begging you, and he's wanting you, and he's doing it on the basis of the mercies of God. Do you see the verse there? Do you see what it says? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. The mercies of God. What are the mercies of God? Well, it's God in His mercy has given us justification. God in His mercy has given us, He helps us with sanctification. Justification is that God can make you just as though you have never sinned. Sanctification is if we allow Him to do so, if we yield to Him, He will set us apart unto Himself and set us apart away from the world. That's what God will do. That's one of the mercies of God. And then, of course, the glorification. That's one of His mercies. One day we will be glorified. One day we will be with Him. The mercies of God. The preposition here is an intermediate agency. God wants to work in and through your life as an individual and also as a body of believers. That's what God desires. And I hope that we will understand that this morning. And then when a Christian presents their body, it means that they are yielding. Do you remember the passage back in Romans chapter 6? The passage back in Romans chapter 6. Let's go back there and read a verse there in Romans chapter 6. Notice what it says. I think it's verse number 12 or 13 in Romans chapter 6. In verse number 12, it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You see, yielding to God. Yielding to God. Putting Him in first place in your life. And that's what God desires. And you'll notice there's three key words that are talked about here in this first verse. He talks about a living sacrifice. The believer is alive from the dead. We're a living sacrifice. He talks about holy. The only way we can be holy is in the Lord. We can't be holy in ourselves because we're sinners saved by grace. Holy, and then acceptable to God in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're acceptable to Him. And this is what He's trying to, and He's saying this is reasonable. This is the reasonable thing. This is what should be expected. This is what we should be willing to give. That's what He wants. And then in verse number 2, the word conformed with its phrase means stop assuming an outward expression which is patterned after this world. In other words, we live in the world, but that doesn't mean we have to live like people that are living in the world. You understand? We're different. We're saved. We're believers. We trusted in Christ. We do live in the world, but He wants us to live apart from the world. And we're a representative of God. You see, we're Christians. We're Christ-like ones. You see? And so we've been regenerated. And I want you to notice, there in that second verse, there in Romans chapter 12, the second verse, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transform means that it's kind of like the same word that was used in Matthew chapter 17, verse 2, and was transformed before them. Jesus was transformed before the disciples that went up on the mount with him. You see. And God wants to transform us. Have you ever seen a butterfly cocoon? You all have a beautiful butterfly section in the airport, unless they've taken it out. I've been in there and had butterflies come and land on my head or land on my finger, and it's quite amazing. But you see, to get to the butterfly stage, a worm wove a cocoon around itself. It started out as a worm. How did we start out? Lost, without God, without hope, nothing valuable about us. It's like the worm, and it put itself in a cocoon and wrapped a cocoon around itself. And then when time had gone by enough, the cocoon opens up, and instead of a worm coming out, a beautiful butterfly comes out and flies off. And that's what God wants to do with us. You see, He wants us to be transformed. He wants us to change. And for 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, capital S. The Spirit of the Lord is what does it. The Word of God is what does it. It transforms us. We're transfigured, you see. Every Christian is either a conformer or a transformer. Okay? Some Christians conform to the world and are, you know, not spiritual Christians. They're trying to live like the world and yet be acceptable to God. God says, let me transform you. Let me transfigure you. Let me make you what salvation is supposed to really make of you. That's what God wants us to do. When the body is presented to God, we are not to be conformed to the world. When the mind is renewed by the Word of God, we will be transformed in our daily lives. We have to stop thinking like the world thinks. We have to think like God thinks. And by reading the Scriptures and memorizing them and trying to live them out in our lives under the direction of the Holy Spirit, we can be transformed and yet live in a depraved world and a satanic system and be a glory to God. We can do it. But we have to work at it. Some Christians obey God because they know that obedience is good for them. It's good. Children obey their parents sometimes because they want the parents to say, well, you've been good. And reward me. Give me a candy or give me a piece of cake or, you know, and all. Good. And, you know, and of course, they don't want to be chastised or paddled or reprimanded. Others obey because they find God's will acceptable. They say, what God is expecting of me is not out of bounds. It's acceptable. But you see, the deepest devotion when it comes to God is in those who love God's will and find it perfect without error. And only will you do that if you're totally surrendered to the will of God and walking in the Spirit and believing that the Word of God can transform you and make you a better person than you trying to follow the principles and actions that the world has set up to make you a better person. You see, transformation takes place from within better than it does from without. You say, what do you mean? Well, what I mean is, I'm getting older every day. When I wash my hair, I look down at the drain and I see some of the hair has left. You do too. You see, if we try to live in the flesh is going to fail us. But if we live in the Spirit, if we really understand living in the Spirit and living out the Word of God in our lives, we realize that we have life here that's more abundant and fruitful and the life to come on top of it. But if we try to live like the world lives and trust in the flesh, one day we'll die and it's all over. And we'll be separated from God. You see, we need to be devoted to God. If His will is perfect, then we need to demonstrate that in our lives. Now, in the second place in this chapter, it talks about this matter of humility. When we start thinking of ourselves, we need to be humble. Notice what it says here in verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, Paul is talking, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You understand? In other words, some people have an exaggerated, thought about what they really are. Well, I'm really important. I'm really famous. I'm really... And people are living for fame and fortune. And yet, fame and fortune are temporary. The fortune can only be used here. You can't take it with you. You heard about the guy that instructed people to put his wealth in his casket. And one of his best friends came along and said, listen, I think I can make this better. And he took out his checkbook and he wrote a check and put it in the casket and took the money out. Well, let me tell you something. You may have gold in your teeth, but when you die, the gold will stay in your teeth. It won't go with you into eternity. Okay? You may have the best suit that you ever bought that's on that body, but it won't go beyond the casket, okay? It won't go beyond the casket. You see, we got to think about ourselves as we really are. We need to have humility in relation to thinking about ourselves. It says, "There not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." You know, they were on the news that was talking about having a college education or a university education may drive the parents into poverty and have nothing in retirement in their old years. And the children may go to university and college and not finish. And yet you have all this expense. College isn't for everybody. Sometimes a person is very good at a skill. They have, good gifts as far as doing things. But sometimes if they just sharpen those gifts, they'll end up doing much more than they will if they go and get a university degree. And then for years, pay, 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 trying to pay off that university degree, and it didn't really help them get any better job than what they got. You see, the world, well, anyway, we have to be humble when we start thinking about ourselves. And even though we have a new nature in Christ, still there is that constant battle of the old nature against the new nature. And it's constant. Let me tell you something. I'm a great-grandfather, but it is just as much a battle for me as it is for you. And you may be a teenager. So you got a lot of years coming if God gives you a long life. But you have to battle this. And so every morning when you wake up, you better yield yourself unto God and ask Him to walk and work in and through you so that you can make sure that you're doing what God would have you to do and not what the flesh would have you to do. And we have to keep that in mind. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live not yet I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, after a dedication of self to God, then we have to do an evaluation. Once in a while, we need to evaluate ourselves. You know, am I really accomplishing what God would have me to do? And if you say no to yourself, then you need to take a different plan in life. Maybe you're not reading your Bible. Maybe you're not praying like you ought to. Maybe you're not, you know, regular in church attendance. Maybe you're not giving to the Lord and allowing Him to be the Lord of your life. I don't know. I can't judge you. But God knows, and God can lead you to make sure that you keep the flesh humble and keep the spirit strong in your life. And you have to work at that, you see. Now, there's gifts talked about here in this passage of Scripture. Notice what it says in verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, this means a person is able to deliver warnings and exhortation and instruction, and some believers have that spiritual gift. And then there's ministry, notice verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Ministry is so important. The people who serve in an activity of a practical nature within a specific realm and no other. In other words, Sunday school teachers, that's a ministry. Choir is a ministry. You have to prepare for any form of ministry. And then notice in verse number 7 also, it says, and he that teacheth on teaching, you see, imparting the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. In verse number 8, he talks about exhortation. On exhortation. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Aimed at the heart and the will. And then he talks about giving. Some people God have that are great givers. They not only give monetarily, but they may give in many other ways. And it's great that we have people that have been gifted in that way by the Lord. And then if ruling, we have to rule with diligence. We have to be responsible and do the job well. And showing mercy. Listen, when people are sick, I think about Brother David Ross down there in the hospital, and I think and pray for him often. And he's been there a long time. Now, I wouldn't want to be in his place. But we need to be sympathetic, and we need to pray for that brother. We need to pray for Jill. Jill accidentally stepped on some water on the floor and went down and cracked some bones, and now she's, having to be very careful about moving around at all for the next few weeks. And listen, this matter is showing mercy. We have to be merciful. And we need to see, all of this is practical. What Romans chapter 12 is, chapter 12 is talking about, this is how you live out your salvation, how you live your Christian life. That's what it's talking about here. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, it presents the gifted men which Christ has given to the church. While in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 12, the gifts which the Spirit has given believers in the local body to help the body function more efficiently. It's important that we do our part. And it's a dangerous thing to try to serve the Lord when no gift has been given. Our responsibilities to other brethren extend to the exercise of grace as well as the exercise of the gift. Now notice in verse number 9, it says, let love be without dissimulation. Love should be honest and without hypocrisy. You ought to love all the brethren in the church, and all the sisters too. When I say brethren, I meant men and women. We need to love everyone. And regard them as precious, as though they're part of like our earthly family, you see. It's important for us to do that. And we need to hate evil and cling to the good. That's what he's saying here in verse number 9. Notice verse number 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Let somebody else go first. You know, I found that Singaporeans are in too big a hurry because they all want to go first. I mean, it's just an observation. So I let them go. You're on the subway. The door opens. You may be almost in front of the door, and yet somebody in the last instant before you go out pushes through. In a hurry. I guess just not enough time in Singapore, right? Not enough time. Well, we all have 24 hours a day. And as Christians, we've got to use our time wisely, and we have to do it with love and consideration for other people. Let love be without dissimulation, you see. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor preferring one another. And then notice also the conduct of the believer. Not slothful in business. If you have a responsibility that you need to take care of, take care of it. You know, when my children were young, I always had to get them to make the bed, make sure that the room is straight in the morning, was always, you know how it is. You don't have that problem. Oh, I see. Well, hey, listen, let's do things properly. That's all I'm saying. You see, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Oh, it's so important. And rejoicing in hope. You talk about doing, clean up your room. Oh, do I have to do that? If your wife, listen, if your wife has worked real hard on the meal, then you offer to wash the dishes. Okay? You offer to wash the dishes. Won't hurt you one bit. You have to wash your hands anyway, right? Yeah. So go ahead and wash the dishes. You see, you need to have concern for others. And if we pray for one another, it leads to care for one another. You understand me? These are very practical verses, and I don't have time to really talk about all of them in detail. But we really need to keep these things in mind. And I want you to notice there's a passage in Matthew chapter 25, and verses 35 to 40. I want to read these verses because I feel these verses kind of give you the gist of what this passage is trying to say here in the middle of the chapter. This in chapter 25 of Matthew, verse 35, it says, "And I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee hungered or and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." You see, we need to realize that we have others that we need to. If we're not so self-consumed, our day is much brighter. Because we may see somebody else, we may be complaining because our shoes don't look good. But we go outside and walk down the street and we find somebody that has no shoes. Or somebody that may be sitting on a little coaster thing and has no feet. Then we realize that we've got it pretty good and our shoes will do okay. Okay? Instead of being self-concerned, and into, we need to be out to others, and we need to try to help them. So when we get to verse 14 here in the chapter, "Bless them that persecute you." There's people that are not Christians, and some of them don't want to be a Christian, but we need to be a blessing to them anyway. And it says here, "Curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." If a person has a birthday and they're rejoicing over having another birthday, rejoice with them. I won't do it. I'm not going to ask how many are on Facebook because all the hands will go up. And I'm only on because my wife has my name in her Facebook account. Now, I don't know, Brother E, he might not be. I don't know. You see, he's not. So there are a few. But regardless, if Brother E has a birthday, we rejoice with him that he has his birthday. Okay? And what we need to realize here is, in this chapter, be of the same mind one toward another. When it comes to the body of Christ, to the assembly, somebody may make a statement, and because they didn't say it like you would say it, don't get upset, because they may be looking at it from a little different perspective than you're looking at it. It's kind of like the three blind men that went out to examine an elephant. One was by the front of the elephant, and he said, "An elephant is like the trunk of a tree." Another one that was standing beside the elephant said, "The skin of an elephant is rough." And another one was at the back of the elephant, and he said, "No, you all are wrong. An elephant is like a stick," and he was holding the tail. Okay? Listen, we have to realize that we've got things to do. We have to be of the same mind. "Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate." Be willing to humble yourself. Consider another person's perspective, you see. It may not be so far away from your perspective after all. "Be not wise in thine own conceits." Sometimes we think something and we think, this is the only way you can look at this. when really, if you studied a little deeper, there may be 100 more ways that you can look at that. Okay? And we need to realize that. Recompense to no man evil for evil. In other words, don't get even. If you need to be gotten even for, then let the Lord do that. Okay? Let the Lord do that. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Some people say when you're having a heated discussion, the one that talks the most is the one that is in error the most. Because if you have to explain yourself, you know, with too many words, maybe it's not a good explanation. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. And he says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The Lord is going to settle the accounts. When it comes to our lives, we all meet at the base of the cross. And Jesus was the one that hung on the cross and shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven. And we have to keep that in mind. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You say, Brother Blue, how do I overcome evil with good? Well, by turning everything over to God and let him live through you. Okay? Let him live through you. You can overcome. You can be an overcomer. Jim Elliot, who lived back in the he died in 1950s. And him and some other men were on a beach. And they were trying to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Aka Indian tribe of people. And one day in his diary, he made this entry. He said, God, I pray thee, light these idle sticks of my life that I may burn for thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one, like you, Lord Jesus. People don't write diaries much anymore. People don't do that. Today we live in a day where things are going very rapid. And if you're not careful, because of the speed of travel that we're traveling at, if you don't allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to have a part in your life, you're going to find at the blink of the eye in a little bit, what have I done with my life? What have I accomplished? Did anybody come to Christ because of me? Did I get the gospel out? Did I even speak to some of my relatives that I only see briefly once in a while? What about the neighbor next door? Listen, we need to put God first. We need to make sure that the flesh is subdued. And we need to make sure that we have humility and love for those around us. Because that's what Jesus Christ had for us. And if we'll do that, we'll get to the end of life and we'll look back and we'll be happy that we've surrendered ourselves to Him and we've done what God wants us to do. I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Why? Because it's our reasonable service.